8 automated license plate readers were sawn down and stolen overnight in Winona, Minnesota. All 8 poles were found cut at the base, and the city estimates about $3,000 per unit to replace. Welcome to Debug the Hype. I'm Alex Morgan. This show curates conversations from online communities and is not affiliated with Reddit or any subreddit. Today's date is August 6th, 2026. That theft is a sharp new escalation in a story we've been following about license plate readers, legal use of location data, and local pushback. Roxblox just lost roughly $70 billion in market value after its stock plunged. The shares are down about 70% over the last year, and management told investors the platform has fewer breakout viral games driving engagement. Daily active users slipped from 152 million at the peak to about 123 million, and bookings only rose 8% year over year. Executives blamed a mix of changes to discovery, age verification work, and short-term monetization headwinds, and said they'll pause long-term guidance while investing in creator tools and AI. Watch creator retention and discovery metrics because the platform lives or dies on a handful of hits. A post on the Wall Street Bets subreddit flagged an eyebrow-raising miss. Ticker SAMR reportedly posted roughly $75,000 in quarterly revenue against a forecast close to $8.9 million, an order of magnitude gap that usually signals either a forecasting failure or serious operational trouble. That size of miss often drives fast dilution risk or calls for emergency financing, so this is a red flag for anyone holding or thinking of buying the name.
At Google's AI arm, Demis Hassabis is stepping back from day-to-day duties to focus on research as chair and Alphabet's chief scientist, and multiple senior engineers are reportedly leaving to form a new lab called Discovery Loop. Reuters says Google will back the effort and be a cloud partner, while Alphabet shares fell on the news. Talent movement like this reshapes where cutting-edge research happens, so keep an eye on who follows those founders and how quickly product teams lose or replace institutional knowledge.
We covered Flock safety and ALPR debates before. Now there are 3 link developments that take the story from policy dispute to messy operational reality. The overnight removal of every camera in a small town, a court filing showing cross-state tracking used to justify a stop, and an employee resignation that alleges internal suppression of critics. First, the Winona incident is concrete and costly. 8 pole-mounted cameras were removed, the poles were found nearby, the camera bodies are missing, and the city put replacement costs at about $3,000 apiece. But the act was also framed publicly by some as civil disobedience against what they call normalized mass surveillance, and online supporters celebrated the takedown in comment threads. Second, court documents in a Wisconsin case show deputies used hits from a regional license plate network to follow a vehicle across state lines and justify a search, with an officer's probable cause note stating verbatim, "The vehicle travels to Michigan frequently, which is a known source state for marijuana," a line that underscores how travel patterns pulled from automated readers can become evidence for routine policing. Third, an employee resignation at the company that makes these readers has renewed accusations that management tried to silence or undermine protesters and critics, claims the company has pushed back on while city councils and advocacy groups press for transparency and contract limits. Taken together, these episodes show 3 pressure points: physical vulnerability of hardware and public space, the legal gray area around warrantless pattern searches using aggregated plate data, and the political risk vendors face when communities push back.
Which means municipalities and vendors will have to negotiate clearer rules about retention, cross-jurisdictional access, and contractual oversight, or face more disruptions and legal challenges. What to watch next on ALPRs is whether local councils impose strict data retention limits or require warrants for historical queries, whether police departments document policy changes about cross-jurisdictional use, and whether insurers or vendors start beefing up physical security and redundancy, because replacing a camera is cheap compared with the political fallout of being the supplier at the center of a controversy. Reddit reactions ran the gamut from applause for direct action to alarm at lost investigative capability. One law enforcement source argued that without those cameras, I have no idea when that person would have been found, while civil liberties groups pointed to documented abuses, from stalking ex-partners to warrantless long-term tracking, that make this technology uniquely fraught. Switching gears. The memory market and storage suppliers are functioning like a concert hall sold out years in advance, and that squeeze is now showing up in corporate earnings, price talk, and real-world product constraints. SanDisk reported a blowout fiscal fourth quarter. Revenue surged about 372% year over year to roughly $8.97 billion. Adjusted EPS was $39.25, and data center sales were nearly $3 billion for the quarter. Yet the stock fell after the company gave guidance below analysts' near-term expectations and warned that bits are likely to be on allocation beyond calendar year 2027. At the same time, industry reporting says the big memory makers have effectively pre-sold or booked nearly all DRAM and HBM capacity for 2027, driven by cloud providers and AI accelerator demand, which is the reason SanDisk and others are telling customers supply will remain tight. The practical effect? Extremely high gross margins when pricing is favorable, the so-called NAND supercycle that Redditors and analysts celebrate, but also the risk that elevated pricing and tight supply are not indefinitely sustainable and will eventually feed demand destruction in adjacent markets, like consumer devices and phones. There's another market wrinkle. A Chinese maker called CXMT reportedly pushed back when Apple asked for a price cut and quoted parity with the other big suppliers, a sign that some suppliers now have leverage because domestic customers have booked capacity. Huawei and Xiaomi orders were cited in reporting, and that leverage matters for global pricing and geopolitics. Add the technical fact that high-bandwidth memory consumes far more manufacturing and packaging resources than ordinary DDR memory, and you get why new fabs won't immediately fix shortages. It takes years to expand capacity and to add advanced packaging lines for HBM. For investors and product planners, that means watch three data points closely over the next 12 to 18 months: capital spending plans and announced fab timelines from the big memory makers, SanDisk and Western Digital guidance on allocation and contract backlog, and whether cloud customers start redesigning systems to use alternative memory stacks to avoid HBM bottlenecks. Reddit reactions split between buy-the-dip bulls, pointing to long contracts and buybacks, and cautious voices warning that today's outsized profits depend on tight pricing that could normalize, which is the classic boom and reversion risk in semiconductor cycles. Taken together, these two deep threads, surveillance hardware under political and physical attack, and memory capacity booked out by an AI build-out, are both examples of infrastructure stress. One is civic infrastructure, about who watches public space, the other is industrial infrastructure about who controls scarce, expensive compute resources, and both are forcing rapid legal, contractual, and technical adjustments. If a town can physically remove a public safety camera system overnight, and memory fabs can be fully booked out years ahead, the question becomes whether our rules and supply chains are adapting fast enough to match the pace of technology. I'm Alex Morgan. This is Debug the Hype.